I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'd like to thank Pastor Gordon and the church for the invitation to come and preach. And we appreciate all of the accommodations at the hotel. It's really been a blessing to be here. I grew up basically not far from here. And as a young boy and as a teenager coming to the Home Baptist Conference, and I've always enjoyed it. I always have the vivid memory when the preaching was all done and there was just a black cloud at the front of the auditorium here, and it was all those preachers. And I can remember walking up in that group, walking around going, you know, and now I'm just walking around going. But I do, and I have a lot of respect, and I appreciate the longevity, the endurance of many men that have been in the ministry and were preaching back then and are still preaching now, and it's just a blessing to be here. Forgive me, I've been traveling the last couple days. I went back home last night and preached at our home church, and I feel like I'm a traveling pharmacy. I've got so many medications in my car right now, so I'm on the backside of a head cold. But people have been saying I've been that for several years, so we just lean upon the Lord. I want to begin reading in verse 18. We have been going through a series of messages on 1 Timothy in our church, and the Lord really laid this upon my heart very soon after Brother Gordon asked me to preach. And I'm concerned about our churches in this day and time. I'm thankful, as has been already been alluded to, that we can come to a conference like this and we see several churches represented of people that are staying with the stuff and serving the Lord, and they're in the battle. They're in the battle. We've heard much about enduring and going through hardships. And you can't get through the Christian life without hardships. It is a battle. We are in a battle. And many people are fighting the battle on different fronts as we, as God's people and the Lord's true churches, strive to live in for the cause of Christ according to His Word. So I want to begin in verse 18. And of course, we know the backdrop of these pastoral epistles, especially the one to Timothy, Paul's son in the faith, as he called him. But he says in verse 18 in chapter 1, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." The Apostle Paul, we know, is writing this letter to Timothy to encourage Timothy to continue in the faith. If you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, encouraging him, admonishing him, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And I would challenge all of us today. We live in a day where people are not continuing. We live in a day where people are giving up, and people are getting tired, and people are growing weary. As I watch people, and I'm talking about God's people who go through hardships and struggles, and it's so easy to just want to give in. It's easy to just pull back. But Paul here is admonishing Timothy. And again, I know Timothy was in a place of leadership, but I think all these things, as the Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, as a pastor, one who was going to the churches and helping them and leading them. I believe all these things can be applied to all of God's people, to the Lord's churches today. And so he was admonishing Timothy to continue in the faith. And he tells him here in verse 18, he gives him a charge. Now, there are several of these charges as you study 1 and 2 Timothy where Paul charges Timothy. And he says, I charge, this charge I commit unto thee. That word charge is like it's kind of like a military term. It's a command that's given to be passed down the line. And the things as we read in 2 Timothy 2 that Paul was teaching Timothy and Paul was charging Timothy with, Timothy was to charge the church with. And that's how we as God's men, we are charged with the task of taking the scriptures and teaching, thus saith the Lord, and we are to charge the members of the Lord's churches to carry out the same thing, to do the call that God has called us to do, and that is to preach the gospel, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to continue as His New Testament churches to carry out the Great Commission. Someone has said this, it is only as we continue to develop others that we permanently succeed. And I don't mean succeed in a secular point of view, but to do the Lord's work, we have to perpetually give that charge down the line. And I think about that when I think about this conference and I think about the two young men who preached yesterday. And that's exactly what's happening. As the Lord calls men to preach, and as the Lord uses men and women in the Lord's churches to serve the Lord and carry out the Great Commission, we see one generation after another. I remember men saying this years ago, and the young people, and seeing the children, and here we are again, another probably two generations since I've heard that. But what a joy it is to see that God's people are continuing. Paul taught this in chapter 2 Timothy 2 in verse 2 where he tells Timothy, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm thankful for faithful men. I'm thankful for faithful men. I tell our men at our church, I call them men of God. And I said, I know I don't mean men of God like you're called to preach, but you are men. You're saved. You are to be the leaders in your homes. And you are to be setting the example in mentoring the next generation and raising up a generation with a heart for God. And it's a great ministry. We see that Paul, it's been about 15 years since to the writing of this letter since Timothy was first saved. And you can study that back in Acts chapter 13 and 14. But even though Paul was getting ready to leave this earth, his ministry was coming close to an end. And he would be with the Lord. He was charging Timothy that, hey, Timothy, now it's your turn. It's your turn. And of course, Timothy had been serving the Lord. But what a charge. Timothy, I'm going to be going. And we'll get in 2 Timothy in a little bit. But Paul is saying, my ministry is almost done. Timothy, it's your ministry now. Now, we know it's the Lord's ministry. But we have a responsibility to obey the commands. And this morning, I want to encourage us. And I wasn't sure about how to title this message, but basically, I want to preach on the subject of answering the call to the battle. Answering the call to the battle. There are going to be battles that we as Christians face. And I know a lot of times we talk about physical battles and trials. We understand that, and you can study 1 Peter and talk about the trials. But a lot of times what we tend to forget is the trials of our faith, where we are being tried, if you will, by the world because of our faith. There's not too much, and I say this carefully, there's not too much persecution going on in our country. I understand, and pastors talk about it, that, you know, things aren't looking too good. This world has literally turned their back on the Lord. America has turned her back on the Lord. And that happened a long time ago, and that's another message. But my point that I'm trying to make is we really don't suffer a whole lot for the cause of Christ. Oh, we read the headlines and we get mad at the headlines and we shoot out, you know, social media posts about politics and everything. But very seldom does it really affect our daily life. I believe that day's coming. I really do. And it could be before the end of my life that day comes. Nevertheless, we are in a battle. I think far too few of God's people realize the reality that we're in a battle. And a lot of times they're not fighting. because they're not going the opposite direction of the world. And we hear a lot about that. We hear about that. And it's like what was mentioned. We can sit in church and we can hear messages about how we're supposed to be separated from the world and how we're supposed to be living for the Lord. And it just, you know, that's a nice message. And the reality doesn't set in. I think it's sad that many don't realize that. I remember when I first went to Flat Rock back in 1994. It was before I started pastoring. And went to a church in the area. They were having revival services. And it was about 2 weeks, maybe a week prior to us moving down to Flat Rock. We lived in Warren. And we went to the services. And after the services, a lady came up to me. And I didn't recognize her. I wasn't sure who she was. And she said, "Oh, Brother Hugan, I can't wait till you get to Flat Rock." And I'm thinking, oh wow, this is one of my new church members. I was all excited, you know, first church and everything, and so this is going to be great. I'm going to talk with her, and she says, "I can't wait till you get down here to Flat Rock because I have so many problems." And I'm like, you know, my bubble just burst. You know, here I was excited, and for a moment I thought, "Lord, what did I get myself into, or what did you get me into?" But and she did. Boy, she had all kinds of problems. The Christian life is a battle. It is a battle. And it's not always easy. And I think about our missionaries. And I used to just think of missionaries. When I was a kid, when I heard the word missionary, I always thought of Brazil or, you know, China or something like that. But over the last several years, the Lord has really given me a heart for missions in America. And the Lord, even the Lord's churches that are independent churches that are struggling, and there's a lot of them, and they're going through hardships, and it's not always easy to be faithful. I want to notice, first of all, look at verse 18 at this call to the battle. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." I want us to notice, first of all, this is a personal call. "Unto thee, Timothy, unto thee, my son Timothy." Paul made it clear that, Timothy, this is a call, a charge for you. And we can watch people serve the Lord, and we can enjoy the ministries and the fruit of other people's labor, but there's nothing like being in the battle. There's nothing like being in it yourself. There's nothing like being in the forefront of the battle as a prayer warrior, as a servant of the Lord, as someone who will carry the gospel message wherever they go. It is a personal call. Each one of us has a responsibility to answer this call. Every one of us. Notice, secondly, it was a planned call. He said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." When I think about that, I think of what Brother Cummins was preaching on yesterday about we are his workmanship, and it's planned. God has a plan for your life. He had a plan for your life before the foundation of the world. God knew how he was going to use you. And again, as was stated, you know, we can say no to God, you know, after he saves us, and we can decide to go our own way. But you know what I've witnessed? It's amazing how God can get our attention. It's amazing how that he will bring us, and he will use that, if you will, fatherly discipline to bring us to the place to where he, well, as my pastor always said, he fixes our want to. You know, our want to is broken. And, you know, I don't like Jonah. I don't want to. But he brings us to that place. And for those who will yield, God will bless their lives. According to the prophecy, I believe the first thing that comes to my mind with that is it's according to God's word. It's according to God's word. God will lead us by his Spirit according to his word. Amen. And sometimes that word is given to us through the preaching of the Word of God. I can remember sitting in church, and I was fighting. I don't know. At that time, I didn't know what I was fighting. But I remember one Sunday night. I mean, the Lord, you know, he might as well just taken a spiritual baseball bat and whoops upside my head. And I knew right then and there the Lord was calling me to preach. I knew right then and there. I told my wife. I didn't know who to dread more, tell my wife or tell my pastor. But I told my wife, and we went home, and I remember, I mean, we got ready for bed. I was laying in bed. We're praying. We're talking. And she says, well, you got to do what you got to do. I got up, put my clothes on, knocked on my pastor's door. It was about 10:30 at night. I said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. It was a planned call. I didn't know it until then, but it was a planned call. And you don't have to be called to preach, but God has a plan for your life. Whatever it is, it might not be pastor church, or it might not be preaching. I remember telling my pastor, I said, just because the Lord calls me to preach doesn't mean I have to pastor, right? Because that, I mean, I was ministering to our teenagers. I pictured myself at 65 outside on the basketball court in the parking lot playing basketball with the teenagers, you know. But God has a plan, and we're good when we follow that plan. Look at chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, one of the things I want to point out here is that Paul, as Paul would preach, and we know that there were other men that God called to preach, and Paul, remember, Paul was in Ephesus training ministers, training preachers, and men that would go out and do the work. But we see something. If you go back in Acts chapter 16, I think it's chapter 16. Acts 16. And this is after Timothy was saved. Obviously, this is Paul's second missionary journey. And in chapter 16, look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, then came he to Derbe. And of course, Dr. Luke is writing this speaking of Paul's travels and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now notice this, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Notice that phrase, which was well reported of. Timothy had a reputation. Now we talk about reputations, when you think about reputation, you think about people with bad reputations. Timothy had a reputation, if you will. The Bible says that he was well reported of. I think what was happening is the men were watching Timothy. And the saints were watching young Timothy and watching him after the Lord had saved him, how that he was developing in the faith. And they watched him and he was well reported of. I believe that as God works in the lives of his people, and I think especially of younger people, the next generation, we're constantly charging the next generation to hold on to the faith, to stay faithful to the Lord. And there's so much this world is throwing at them. There's so many voices out there, and it's hard for them to differentiate the voices. And that's why we need to challenge them to listen to the Lord, to listen to the Word of God, to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You go back to chapter 4 again, and Timothy or Paul is telling Timothy in verse 12, chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth. As a teenager, I used to think, well, you know, don't despise me just because I'm a youth. Well, I don't think that's what Paul meant. I think what he was saying is don't give him an excuse to. Now, if we're just honest, young people in general give adults a lot of excuses not to trust them. Okay? Part of it is just because they're young and they're inexperienced. And for those of you that were at camp years ago, we talked about zzzz. Remember that? They're all smiling now. Because until you're in your mid-20s and even in some men in the 30s, sometimes I wonder if it's in their 50s, their brain is still going zzzz. I mean, it's not fully developed. But the point that I'm making is we're watching you. You're being watched. for a good reason. You know? And they think, well, you're picking on me. No, we're not picking on you. We want you to be well reported of. Amen. Because we want you to be ready when God makes the plans and makes them obvious to you, for you to be ready to do what He wants you to do for your life. I had no idea what God's will for my life was when I was 16, 17, 18. Of course, I wasn't even saved. I was a lost church member. The Lord didn't save me until I was 21. But boy, when He saved me, boy, I'll tell you what, it changed everything. You know, there's a big difference between playing church, which I learned how to do, and it being real Christianity. And you don't have to be called to preach. You just have to have a heart for God and be touched and just never get old. Listen, Timothy was well reported of. Listen, today's society of slouchy, slothful, unkept culture. Don't ever apologize for being a Christian young man and a Christian young woman. You don't have to lower yourself. Don't worry about what the world says. Be well reported of. Timothy was well reported of. And as Paul was saying, this charge was a charge that was given to Timothy, and it was planned by God. It was His plan for his life. Don't apologize for following the Word of God. Don't apologize for the standards that you are taught in your church and hopefully in your home. I find a lot of times what's taught at the church and what's taught at home doesn't match. But thankfully for God's husbands and wives and fathers and mothers that love the Lord and are teaching their children the precepts and the principles of God's Word. Listen, we're trying to raise up a generation of people with a heart for God. Be well reported of. Look at chapter 4. I think I already read this verse, but verse 14, neglect not that gift. God has gifted you. God has given you what you, He has given you everything you need to serve Him. Don't become disqualified. Listen, the world may not have thought very highly of Timothy, but the godly did. And I'm not holding Timothy up as perfect, but they looked at Timothy and they said, hey, this man has got potential. Someone said this, God's gift to you is your potential. Your gift to Him is how you use that potential. Take what God has given you. I'm thankful for the upbringing. I'm thankful for my parents, for the being raised in a Christian home. A home where, you know, a Christian home is not just a home with a Bible sitting on the end table. It was taught. We were held accountable. And we were taken to church. You think, being sick, you're drugged. Now, I was drugged in my entire life. Every Sunday, I was drugged to church. Well, only a few Sundays we were drugged. You know, every once in a while, I don't feel good. Get in a car. You know, we wanted to stay home and watch Disney on Sunday night. It didn't take long for that to catch on. Don't be concerned about impressing the world. You know who you ought to seek the approval of? Your pastor. I'm not trying to. Some people don't put pastors on pedestals. Well, I'm going to put pastors where God puts them. In leadership. They are to set the example. They are preaching the Word of God. They are loving you to give you the truth of the Word of God. Be concerned about what they think. Be concerned about what your Sunday school teacher thinks. Be concerned about what a God-fearing, God-loving, God-honoring parent. You know, we have some in our church that and they're getting older now, but only one of their parents is saved. And I don't know why. You know, I'm not trying to figure this out, but I don't know why the majority of it, the wives are saved and the husbands are lost. I mean, that's all the Lord. But they struggle because they have a mom that says, follow the Lord, and a mom who's giving them family devotions, and a dad who's cussing and swearing and doing whatever he wants to do and listening to worldly music. And they're getting those voices, and it's right in their homes. It's right in their homes. By the grace of God, we pray that they will love the Lord. Now, most of them right now are saved. They claim to be saved. But they need to follow the Lord. When I think of our lives, you know, there's three areas of importance that I encourage. Number one is our aptitude. This call to the battle, we need to have a spiritual aptitude. We need to have a faithful prayer life. We need to have a faithful time in God's Word where we are in the Word of God and studying, being faithful to the house of God and listening to the preaching and learning how to apply the Scriptures to our lives. Secondly, our appearance. We need to make sure that our demeanor, and I'm not getting on dress code. I'm just saying we need to be decent. When the world looks at you, do they see the Lord? When the world looks at you, do they say, hey, you know, there goes a Christian. Brother Cummins was talking about that. We need to have that kind of a testimony. And then our attitude. I always heard, you know, there's two kinds of sins. Sins of omission and sins of commission. I throw a third one in there. I think there's also the sin of disposition. Some people just need a checkup from the neck up and change their attitude. We're supposed to be children of God. We need to live like it. We need to act like it. There needs to be a smile on our face. Even when we don't feel good, even when we're going through trials, we're in the battle, and the world needs to see that we're winning. And of course, we're victorious in Christ. And notice thirdly, verse 18 of our text. He says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. This is a personal call to the battle. This is a planned call to the battle. But it's also a perpetual call. This is not a call to fight a battle. It's a call to fight in a warfare. Christian life is a warfare. How many times have we heard growing up, Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon, to use that analogy. But in the battle where we are constantly up against a world that hates God, constantly up against a world who says, you know, put away that old, dilapidated, worn out, irrelevant Bible that you have, And get current with the times. I remember a little boy coming on the van route on Sunday mornings, and he had an earring in his ear. And I just, you know, usually, well, I won't say something. This was years ago. I was pretty green. But I asked him to take his earring off. And he took his earring out. And I got a call that afternoon. Who do you think you are? Telling my kid to take his earring off. And I said, well, ma'am, I just asked him to take it off. He didn't give me a hard time. You know, I didn't even have to go into an explanation. I said, son, could you take your earring out? And he said, sure. You know, he didn't care. She said, this was before the 21st century. She said, this is the 20th century. And then she proceeded to tell me that her grandmother was a preacher. And I'm thinking, what? And I said, well, ma'am, I didn't mean any disrespect. I just don't believe boys should be wearing earrings. There's a reason why they call them neck laces. That sounds like preaching from the 70s, doesn't it? It's a battle. The world doesn't care about the Bible. The world doesn't care about any standards. The world doesn't care about you following the Lord and living for Christ. But this is not a single battle, it's a warfare. And you'll be fighting it the rest of your life. There are people in this room right now that have been fighting in this battle for decades. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord. Now notice verse 19. Listen, we need to understand that life is not a game. This is a battle. Now notice the commitment that Paul is charging Timothy with. He says in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. But I want to notice two things here. Holding faith and a good conscience. There is a call to the battle. Can you hear it? Have you answered? Hey, recruiters. Someone was talking about the military. And they work hard at, I don't want to say it, convincing young men. The reason why I say young men is because I think it needs to be young men. That's another subject. But, hey, this is a good idea. This is what you need to do. You know, this, you know, serve your country and so on and so forth. And one of the mothers in our church called me. She says, Pastor, she said, I don't know how to talk to my son. He's talking about joining the military. Now, first and foremost, I would just say this. I thank God for the military of the United States of America. And I'm not going to get into the politics and into my conservative views because I'm pretty sure they match yours. But this is what I told her. I said, right now, I could not honestly, as a pastor, put forth a lot of effort to try to encourage a young man to join the military. And I have all kinds of reasons, which I won't go into. There's just a lot of bad things that go on. And I've seen a lot of young men leave the Lord, if you will. And what I mean by that is he's no longer important to them because of the influences that take place there. And I say that to say this. You're already in an army. You are in one of the most important services that you could endeavor and be engaged in, and that is the spiritual warfare. And I would just encourage you, now whether they decide they're going to go in the military, that's up to them, but I tell them, consider this. You're in a battle. There's a battle raging. And you know, I thank the Lord, I know a couple chaplain in the military. And boy, I tell you what, I'm thankful for Baptist men that are in there trying to make a difference there. But Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy, you're in a spiritual battle. And folks, when those that go in the military, if they don't realize it when they go in there, they find out very quickly it takes commitment. You can't win wars without committed soldiers. And I know our victory is in Christ and the ultimate victory is in Him. But there are battles waging now. There are battles raging in homes. There are battles raging in churches. There are battles raging in the hearts, in the lives of God's people. And we need committed soldiers. Notice the commitment of possessing the faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him, God. It's possible to please Him. We need to be people of faith, a steadfast adherence to the Word of God and to the teaching of the Word of God, to the doctrine that has once delivered unto the saints. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I tell our church, when I came to Flat Rock Baptist Church in 1994, that church had already had set what they believed. And they had a doctrinal statement. I was telling them, I said, listen, if ever a piece of paper that's called a doctrinal statement contradicts with the Word of God, guess which one needs to be changed? Amen. And we amended some things. There's some things that J.M. Pendleton didn't deal with that we had to deal with early on, like the King James Version. And, you know, none of that was detailed. And so we went through and we detailed some of those things. Folks, I believe that we ought to be using the King James Bible. Amen. But you know what? I didn't go to that church and change those standards. Those are written. And you know what? Whatever date on that document that was on that doctrinal statement that the church voted to do that, that wasn't the beginning of that faith. Because the faith was settled in heaven. The truth was settled in heaven with God before the foundation of the world. And we have no right to compromise that truth. We have no right to change it. We have no right to water it down. We have no right to question it. It is our responsibility, not just as preachers, but as church members of the Lord's New Testament churches, to lift up that sound doctrine and to proclaim the truth and not be ashamed. Not be ashamed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, the apostles' doctrine was Christ's doctrine. You know, Paul is telling Timothy to hold on to the faith and trust God. We need men and women, young people, to hold on to this faith. It's the Word of God. It's more important than sports. It's more important than hunting and fishing. It's more important than our hobbies. When a church begins to consider doctrine as divisive and theology as troublesome and convictions as inconvenient, I will show you a church that's on a well-deserved death march. Be committed. And again, that charge isn't just to the church. Who's the church? It's the people. It's the people. Pastor will stand in the pulpit and he'll preach sound doctrine and he'll preach sound duty. Someone said the church rises and falls on leadership. I also believe it rises and falls on followership. Amen. I think that's there. But it's not enough just to know it. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. A good conscience. Not only should we be committed to the faith, I think we need to be committed to living the faith. It needs to be real. It's not just something that we hold on to a book and we have our little lists. Paul said that he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Amen. And when that counsel is declared, you and I are responsible to live it. Amen. It's not enough just to hold it. So how do you have a good conscience? Well, first of all, what determines something is good? Or maybe a better question is, who determines whether something is good? God does. If it's according to God, if it's according to Him, if it's according to His ways, if it's according to His statutes, if it's according to His precepts and the principles found in the Word of God, God wants your conscience, your living, and your believing to match. And I'm thankful to know folks that live that way. I'm thankful for that. And we see that. Those are the people that, I don't know, do crazy things like attend Bible conferences. You know? That's usually the kind of people that attend. Because the last thing we should desire is for our life to cancel out our message. Someone once said, if you want to wreck your ship and lose a war, and fail to keep a clean deck and a faithful crew. We need church members faithful to the Lord. Amen. It needs to be more than just a Sunday and Wednesday thing. It needs to be a daily thing. Don't neglect the Holy Spirit pricking your heart when He convicts you of sin, when He convicts you of conviction to say, you know what? I need to be one that will speak up at work when things are said. And I remember working in the shop with my dad and some great years there working for my dad and learned a lot. But some of these guys, Brother Lafferty was saying, it was Brother Austin Johnson talking about the language and so forth. And we just say, hey, you know, knock it off. You know, don't talk like that. Speak up. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think we have plenty to say. I think we have a message that the world needs to hear. Amen. God wants our doctrine and our life to match. You say you're saved, live like it.
That's right.
You know? You say you're a child of the King, act like it. You know? We are. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. You're a child of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We ought to live like that. Again, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Paul says, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. We need to wake up every morning and take heed to ourselves. It's a daily challenge. The battle is a daily challenge, whether it's a challenge with our physical health or if it's a challenge with a lost coworkers or an employer that's giving you a hard time or maybe that neighbor that keeps throwing their trash on your side of the street. Speaking from experience. We need to take heed every day. I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to go into the battle. And I'm going to take the armor in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to go forward for Christ. And then lastly, notice verse 20. Well, he says in the second half of verse 19, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And he mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander. I want us to notice thirdly the casualties of the battle. I don't want to end a message on a negative, and I won't. But the truth of the matter is, there are casualties. there are casualties. I've been in the ministry long enough to experience people coming and going. Coming and going. Coming and going. And you can see it. Usually when a church member leaves the church, their heart was probably gone 6 months to a year prior to that. I understand things pop up, but very seldom does something pop up and someone just automatically decides to say, I'm out of here. There's usually an underlying heart issue. Notice the cause of failure. Paul says, which some, look at here, having put away. Having put away. The first thing they put away was their Bible. You know, when I was in the moving business, we'd go from place to place. I'd go from house to house and give estimates. And I'd go down in the, you know, ghettos of Detroit. And very seldom did I go into a place where there wasn't a Bible sitting around. And a lot of times I'd turn that conversation into something. But some of those Bibles were pretty dusty. And it wasn't because they were moving. They just don't touch it. We put away the scriptures. We put them away out of our minds and out of our hearts. They turn back from the faith. As Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 2, they have a seared conscience. There's no feeling. They can sit in a church service. They can even sit in a Bible conference and not have any feeling. Not feel the pricking, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I get a kick out when someone says, well, I just don't believe the Holy Spirit's convicting me about that. And I say, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. They believe it doesn't matter. They blame the pastor for pushing the truth on them. Really? Folks, we're just the man in the lighthouse. We're just shining the light. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. There's a reason people that reject the Word of God. I'm not talking about lost people. People that say, well, you know what? I believe this, but I'm not going to believe that. And I just don't believe the Bible says what he says it means. And we neglect the Word of God. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And when you steer away from the truth, shipwreck will come. Then we see in verse 20, lastly, the consequences. Consequences of failure. Two names are mentioned. These two men said, I don't believe that stuff anymore. I don't want to follow that anymore. That pastor's just against me. They're hard-hearted towards the pastor. They're hard-hearted toward the Word of God. And here's the thing. Nobody backslides alone. Nobody backslides alone. They take people with them. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 2:16, overthrowing the faith of some. These men wanted others to go with them. So Paul says, we deliver them under Satan, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There's the purpose. There's the purpose. Edification and learning. Well, I don't believe we should discipline. I know of a man who went and preached at a church, and he was asking the pastor, he said, so he was just asking about the church role. I don't know exactly what his question was. And the man says, well, you really don't have a church role. This is a Baptist church. You don't have a church role. Well, you know, they just kind of come here if they're faithful. Folks, and I don't say this to be mean, but some churches are failing. And I think they're failing because a lot of these pastors, and I don't believe any here, but there are pastors, they're learning how to pastor from the internet. And they're too busy watching those guys in the sport coats and no ties with jeans on, skinny jeans. That is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. But those are their heroes. I've got plenty of heroes right in this book. And don't take this the wrong way. I mean this with all respect and honor to God. There are heroes in this room right here. Men and women, but especially men, God's men, who have stayed with the stuff. Amen. We need to learn. This isn't a country club. It's the Lord's church. Amen. It's the church of the living God. Amen. And we need to be faithful to her. Amen. Because faithfulness to the Lord's church is faithfulness to the Lord. You say, well, I love the Lord, but if you don't love the church, you don't love the Lord. So I love my church. I had someone get mad and leave our church, and they sent the church a letter. I wouldn't read the letter to the church, because all that letter was about, oh, we love you folks, and we love you folks, and you know, we love Flat Rock Baptist Church. But they didn't have anything, nothing but bad to say about me. I said, I'm not going to read that to the church. Folks, we're in a battle. I remember what David said, the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. Can you hear the battle cry? There's a cry. Can you hear the battle cry? Who is on the Savior's side? Help us lift the blood-stained banner high. There's a time to rest beside cool waters, to watch and wait and plan. Well, us pastors, we're good at those kind of things, aren't we? There's a time to rise up like an army and take our weapon in our hand. That's this right here. The Lord victorious goes before us. Don't be afraid. Let us not grow weary as we carry the gospel to the lost. Let us lay our lives down in the service of our captain and his cause. Though evil rages with hearts courageous, folks, we must soldier on. Can you hear the battle cry? Commit to the battle. Christ has sounded forth the trumpet, and he'll never call retreat. Amen. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his very judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Be jubilant, my faith, as truth goes marching on. Amen. And so should you. And so should I. Because guess what? Jesus wins. Amen. Are you on the Lord's side? Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? He said, well, God's on my side. That's not what's important. It's important for us to be on his side. There's a battle cry. And the call goes out. Commit to the battle. I charge thee. It's personal. It's for you. It's for me. Be committed to the faith. Pray for those that are the casualties. Try to win them back, but don't become one. Stay faithful to the Lord, and God will bless you.